The Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Feast of the Divine Mercy, by name, is not a particularly old feast in the church. However, it does date back, the origins of it date back to, they date back to Jesus, but the Divine Mercy as such dates back to a series of private revelations that were given to a Polish nun by the name of Sister, now Saint, Maria Faustina Kowalska, back at the beginning of last century. You see, I think very often many of us have seen this image of Jesus with a white and a red ray of light coming out of his side. He's standing in white robes and he has these rays coming out of his side. And that's the image of the Divine Mercy. That was the image that Sister Faustina saw whenever he came to her and had a series of revelations to her. She had written a whole journal. She had written a whole journal about her experiences of this. But the bottom line, of course, is that the whole world is in great need of the Lord's mercy, and yet we don't often seek it. Now, I think we need to understand what mercy really is. Mercy is God's very deep and emphatic compassion for us and for our condition. God knows just more deeply than we know just how broken we are in many ways and how much we're in need of his forgiveness and his strength. He knows that, right? And he wishes to give it. That's the whole purpose for the incarnation. That's the whole purpose for the sacrifice of the cross and the resurrection. It's because he is so merciful and so compassionate toward our weaknesses. He didn't want to leave us there. He didn't want to leave us in desolation and loneliness out in the wilderness by ourselves and left to our own devices. Rather, he came to our rescue in the flesh as Jesus. So we really call to mind today, this is the not just the second Sunday of Easter, but is the end of the Easter octave. And again, Easter and Christmas are so important that we celebrate them for 8 days, not just one. And so we're concluding this great feast, the feast day of Easter. Even though the season goes on for another few weeks, we conclude this is still Easter Sunday, as all of the rest of this last week was. So it's that big of a deal. But we commend, we thank the Lord today for his great mercy. The resurrection is the culmination of his mercy, his great compassion for us and for our sinfulness. He shows this great mercy in a dramatic way whenever he breaks into the upper room in the gospel account tonight. He breaks in, and here are all these men huddled around the Blessed Mother for strength and for support, and they're completely devastated because they've seen the guy they followed for 3 years, and they had put every confidence in this man. They had seen him just crushed in front of them and killed. And so they didn't have any hope left. When he comes breaking into the room with them, these are men who have scattered and ran and denied him and all other sorts of things, whenever they all said they would stand by him, no matter what. So you know what they were probably thinking when they first saw him. Oh, crud. Here he is. What is he going to say to us? What is he going to say to us? But what did he say? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he shows off his wounds. He says, look at what they did, and yet here I am. You see, they expected that he would be violently wrathful because of what they had done or not done for him. And instead, he was wishing them peace. He was wishing them peace. He had already forgiven them for what it was that they had done. And they're so overjoyed by this that they can't wait to run out and find Thomas, who wasn't there, and they tell him all this. And of course, he's like, whatever, no way. It's just too good for him to believe. And so the next time then, whenever they're gathered together, Jesus really shows him the goods. And Thomas, this one who doubted so much, doubted even though everybody else was telling him, no, he's really alive. This same doubting Thomas is one of them who went to the martyr's death. He was martyred in India eventually for spreading the faith. He saw Christ's love for him, and that's what gave him the motivation to give the rest of his life to Jesus. And so my prayer is that all of us, you, me, and the rest of the world, we'll come to realize, first of all, how much we need him and how much he loves us despite our sinfulness. The thing we need to remember is that God's tender compassion for us and for our faults is limitless, you know, and he will never reject us. God will not reject us because we're sinful. That's what we celebrate today. God will not reject us because we are sinful. He will never reject us. But he can't help us if we're indifferent to that love. If we're indifferent to our sins and if we're indifferent to his love, he can't help us. But he will never reject us if we come to him in contrition, in sorrow for our sins, and acknowledging that we need him. Then he can really work with us. Then he can really work with us. And that's one of the things that we're going to celebrate tomorrow. We're having an extra mass at 3:30 at St. Martin's. From 1 to 3, we're celebrating, I'm offering the Sacrament of Reconciliation. We're having adoration during that time as well. At 3 o'clock, which is the hour of mercy, when Jesus died on the cross for us, we're going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which was a prayer that's prayed on the rosary that Jesus gave to St. Faustina during his revelations. Whereby we implore the Lord's mercy on ourselves and on all the souls in the world, particularly those who don't know that they need his mercy. And then at 3:30, we are going to conclude with Mass. So any and all people are welcome. I want to kind of go into this a little bit. There is a plenary indulgence assigned to that. If we make a confession within 20 days of Divine Mercy Sunday, which is tomorrow, and also make a worthy reception of communion, of course, that's what the Mass is for, right? Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Do this all in good faith and with fervent heart. It's a remission of all the time that we have accrued so far in purgatory. So maybe I'll explain that a little bit more later in some other forum. But suffice it to say, it would be a good thing to do to to plug in to learn this Divine Mercy Chaplet, to look it up and to pray it, and to ask the Lord's mercy on us and especially on the rest of the world, that the world will open to this great love that he wants to shower upon every single one of us.